DEI died with woke. The whole DEI thing is a cover for basically grooming a society for perversion and pedophilia. And so I'm just saying it. These plane crashes, if there's any redemption out of it, is to find out that maybe hiring because of diversity and equity, inclusion, isn't the greatest thing.
All right, so Rabbi, in 2025 with the Trump administration, this year has really gone pretty quick so far. I mean, President Trump gets in, executive orders are flying. So there's been a lot of change, not just in the United States, but just from an international, more global perspective, too. But there's also a lot of prophets and apostles that have weighed in on a lot of things that's kind of happened with the administration. What have they seen? And so I wanted to really take this podcast. We kind of talked about it beforehand, really unplanned, but we thought this was a really timely moment to kind of dive in to what's happening. Not saying that this podcast, this episode is going to be 100% political, but we're going to be talking about some political topics in it. So, like, what do you see with this timing, what the administration's doing, where the turn of the United States are really heading, and what that looks from a global impact?
Well, from a global impact, let's just start out with what I'll talk about, what I know about, and that's Israel. I have never seen the Israelis and the Israeli government be so optimistic and so happy to have a president like Donald J. Trump. I mean, you know, the Trump effect, the fact that he can speak and things actually start to fall into place. He has tremendous authority. One of the other things that makes him so powerful, just from a behavioral standpoint, he's very unpredictable, but predictable. But the unpredictability is really a strength. And the Israelis respect that. So Israel is just excited about what's happening. And after all they've been through the last few years, you know, the Biden administration, listen, Bibi is a professional, Prime Minister Netanyahu, forgive me, is a professional long-term politician. And I'll say this from my standpoint, I think he's the most polished and most he's the best politician in the world right now, better than Trump. Trump's a businessman, and praise God for that, because we don't need a politician in the White House. We need a businessman right now. But you have Netanyahu he's a very well-trained political person. So what's happening is Trump realizes that, and he's empowering him and understanding by doing that. Not only he understands spiritually Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those that bless you, but he's also practical enough that, listen, I can put a lot on this man and this cabinet that he's got right now, and they're going to stand with me. And that's what you're watching unfold. That's never happened, I don't think, ever at this level. So when you start realizing that, and I'm not prophesying, I'm answering your questions, is you have a very strong White House and you have a very strong Knesset, and they're all on the same page working together. Believe me, all the people who are disruptive in the Middle East are sitting back going, okay, they're going to lead through strength. And that means we have to readjust the way we're doing things. And so from a global standpoint of things moving fast, that's why what you're seeing happening in Gaza, that's what you're seeing happening in Syria, Lebanon. Without doing anything, the Iranians, the Ayatollahs are going to have to really totally rethink everything that they've done. You know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but the last strike that Israel had against Iran, they removed most of their protective cover. So, and then they backed off because the Biden administration didn't allow them to finish the job with the nuclear sites. So, but the cover's gone. So now you've got all of this munitions being brought from the United States already into Israel. They will naturally, they'll still bark, but they're not going to jump over the fence and try to go bite people right now. Because if they do, they know they're going to get wiped out. So So this is a great opportunity for a season of peace and a season of prosperity in the Middle East. And so why do I bring that up? When you have peace in the Middle East like that, and then you have drill, baby, drill in the United States, you're going to have a prosperous economy. The United States is, you know, particularly in Alaska and places like that, will start selling petroleum products to Japan. And all of that shift is going to happen. And what happens is when people are financially being blessed and prospering together, they don't fight each other as much. And so I really think that I'm just, maybe I'm too businessmanlike, and I'm just saying, I'm seeing these things. You know, we have issues in North Korea and pressuring South Korea again. All that's going to stop with just the what's going to happen out of Alaska. Because, you know, it's, and what is that doing? It's removing the threat of a nuclear war. So I think that what the Lord is anointing Donald J. Trump to do in this season and kept Bibi alive and allow that. I think you're going to see peace in the Middle East. I think you're going to see peace coming into, I think China is going to have to rethink the way it's doing things. I think North Korea is going to have to rethink that whole Pacific Rim. So I think that's going to bring peace and prosperity. It's going to protect Taiwan with all of the assets that are there, that globally, I think the globalists have taken a huge hit with this. I really expect, I'm not prophesying, but I think that Putin is going to have to rethink the way his economy's going and what he's doing. Everything is always about the money. And so I think they're going to have to rethink that. So I think you're going to see even things start to settle down in the Ukraine. So I'm very optimistic about what's happening, and spiritually and prophetically. A lot of this has to do with a time of harvest so that the Lord can be about the harvest. Judgment things are happening. And what you're seeing is like in the principles of you reap what you sow. I think what you're seeing happening in the media, what's happening in Hollywood, what's happening with, you know, I think you saw that through what's changing now is it's the word that, you know, I spoke a long time ago was go woke, go broke. That is not the core of who the United States is. And it's also not the core of anybody who is healthy and wants to be able in their nations, in the sheep nations. No one likes this woke ideology. And it, you know, it's they want things that are more healthy to the family, and they want to be able to protect and prosper and give their families places to be able to prosper in all nations. So I really kind of think we're in a place where the American dream has been saved. And I'm very optimistic about 2025.
Yeah. So we've done not too many episodes, if really not any, about the executive orders, more so domestically. I know you've done some lives with Pastor Todd Coconato. We all kind of went through it a little bit more in depth, but I figured since we're kind of talking about the subject and we just kind of went over more of the international side, let's look at the domestic side, right? Out of all the executive orders, and I think a lot of Christians, even people who aren't spiritual, from a moral conviction standpoint, are pretty excited about some common sense type of executive orders, right? Now, a lot of them are trying to get blocked, but out of all those executive orders, you know, day one, day two, getting in for President Trump, what really gets you most excited? Which one, maybe one or two for just long-term direction of the country, but maybe more so long-term direction for Christians, for families to feel safe in this country? Which one or two are you most excited about?
Oh, that's for sure the southern border. Listen, you it's just real basic. You are not a nation without a border. Yeah, I'm not a complicated person. But I've spent so much time in Israel, and a lot of times when we go to Israel, we go on prayer assignments where we go north, south, east, we cover all of it. And you have to have active borders, and you can't just let people in illegally. They need to go through process. So I think having the borders, I'm not against aliens, okay? Scripture is very clear that you're to take care and bless the alien. But I think that people can, I'm going to say it this way. I think that if you have common sense, that you realize that a globalist group went to these foreign countries and said, let's dump your prisoners, we want to take over the United States and we want to do it from the inside out. So let's take all your bad actors and take them through going into the nation illegally. And by the way, while they're doing it, they can also carry all this fentanyl. They can carry children with them for sex trade. And meanwhile, the cartels are going, absolutely. And the cartels are pushing money back to the politicians who are saying, like, we don't know anything about this. But it's like, well, how do you have that much money in your bank account when you're only making a salary as a congressman or a senator? Okay. And yet, you know, you're worth like, you know, $500 million. You must have a tremendous side hustle. And what it is, it's no different than what you're seeing now with RFK Jr. trying to go into his position. Who's screaming the loudest are all those who are on the take with Big Pharma. And it's right there in their bank accounts. You can see where the donations are coming. And so I think when you're asking me, like, what's the biggest thing for me? The biggest thing for me is really the southern border. And what happens is we want legal aliens coming and I feel bad for those. I've got a lot of friends who are first generation and second generation, and their parents went through all sorts of hard work to become a United States citizen. And then just to randomly let all these people come, it really kind of devalues and it demotivates people. So I would say probably the thing I rejoice about the most is his ability to restore peace. Because, you know, one of my biggest concerns is praying is like, how many sleeper cells are in this nation? I mean, we have way too big of a swatch of people in time that are here, and they're here for the wrong reason. And of course, they're going to go and hunt those people down. I pray for grace, and they need to be deported.
Yeah. So one of the executive orders, Rabbi, and I don't think I've gotten your take, thoughts, common sense take, spiritual take on it. But just to kind of set it up to where President Trump has to sign an executive order about there being just two sexes, right? Male and female. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts on that. But the angle I kind of want to take with it is for you to comment on, to give some wisdom, some spiritual insight of kind of where the country was, even if you look all the way back to the Obama administration through one term of Trump and then Biden. But the country's gotten to a point to where you have job applications, you have anywhere that, you know, a document is going to ask you, are you male or female? But where the country was and where President Trump and his administration is now taking it, back to where a lot of people would call it like common senseville, right? To where there's obviously just two sexes. What's your thought on that executive order, kind of where the country was, where President Trump's trying to take it back now? What do you think about that?
Well, the whole DEI thing is a cover for basically grooming a society for perversion and pedophilia. And so I'm just saying it. But I'm really kind of a no-nonsense person. I mean, I DEI died with woke. And I think these plane crashes, if there's any redemption out of it, is to find out that maybe hiring because of diversity and equity, inclusion, isn't the greatest thing. I mean, why don't you do that with your brain surgeon the next time and just saying, well, if I'm going to have brain surgery, I want to make sure that I have it from somebody that's in a minority group, not instead of having like the best brain surgeon to cut your head open. I personally think that if you're a fireman and I'm another fireman, I want the best fireman, so to say, holding the ladder when I go up and we go into the burning building. I don't want the person going into the fire with me because of their ethnicity or their sex. I think all that's dying. I praise God because it's just not good business and it's not practical to protect your families. Listen, once you take the motivation out, I have a good friend, John Smoltz, pitcher for the Atlanta Braves and Hall of Famer. And I was asking this question, being raised by my mother and, my parents went, the biggest fight my parents had when I was growing up was my mother being too loud, yelling at the referees watching whatever sport it was at. And I can always remember my dad saying, he would say to my mother, to Rita, he says, "Rita, do you think he can hear you?" and she's going, "You're ruining this for me. She was so excited and talking about it. But I was raised in the Little League system. And in fact, I used to, in Los Angeles, I actually pitched the only no-hitter 1 year. And so I was pretty good. I didn't bat well in field, but I could throw the ball. And so that's one of the things that John and I have in common. Obviously, he's at another level. But he and I got into discussion because he has grandkids and I have grandkids. And he was asking me the question, "Well, how are you going to raise your grandkids? And I said, "Listen, I want them to be their best and you're going to reward good behavior." And he goes, "Oh, man, I'm so glad to hear you say that." Yeah, because this, like everybody gets a trophy because you showed up. That doesn't work. I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't work. You have to motivate people to basically practice. As my mother said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You've got to teach people how to be excellent and to compete in the world. And I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of the illegal aliens come here is because we're soft. And they think, I can come here and work real hard and I can have the American dream. Because you have to ask yourself, how can someone come in that's an alien and they come in and in 15 years, they got a multi-million dollar landscape company, they're doing all the mansions and stuff in Beverly Hills. Like, how did that happen? Those are all true stories. And the reason is because they saw an opportunity that if they work harder and deliver a better product, that they'll end up with all the business. And that's driven by reward and that's driven by deliverables. And so they know that they have to deliver. And so I really think that all this DEI killed that. It's like, no, you don't have to deliver. You can just come and get a paycheck. That creates a very weak nation. And, we're in the process of that executive order at the core correcting that. I want to encourage you to... you have to understand, go to King David. I mean, King David just didn't go and, Saul told him, "Hey, why don't you put on my armor?" So he put it on. He was obedient. Then he went outside the tent and he's standing there with Saul's armor and he's just a young kid. And here's this big, huge guy's armor. And he took it off and he says, "This isn't going to work for me." So he pulls out a slingshot. Well, how many times did he practice with a slingshot out when he was killing the lion and the bear and all, you see what I'm saying? He was proficient with the slingshot because he practiced. He knew that was his fastball. So he used it, he killed the giant, then used the giant sword to cut off its head. He knew it wasn't just enough. He didn't want all of a sudden after he was in a coma, maybe he's not dead. He went ahead and said, "Listen, we're gonna make sure because I'm gonna take his head off with his own sword. Plus I had prophesied it that I was going to." So I really think that in this season, and I know this kind of sounds like the old guard, old man talk, but when I was talking with John about it, is that he seemed so relieved that for me as a, quote, religious person, that I believe that God means that you have to work hard for excellence, otherwise it doesn't come. But I can give you the scriptures on it. The Lord rewards excellence. He says the righteous to get the righteous reward. So I would encourage you to raise your family to do their best.
Let's take this moment to talk to you about the One New Man Network app. It's available everywhere. iOS, we just launched it over on the Apple App Store. iOS, just search One New Man Network. You can get it on your Android phone, smart devices, tablets, Roku TV, Amazon, Apple TV. It's all going to be there for you. Big get, you can get Shabbats live directly to this app. You can watch the Kurt Landry podcast on it. You can watch Generations of the Table. Most of anything that we produce, we're going to be putting on this app just for you. Also, One New Man EDU, over 16 courses plus a masterclass on the 7 steps to emotional healing. You can find it on the One New Man Network app. You can find it anywhere apps can be found. So, Rabbi, let's get close to landing the plane in this episode. How can people really pray into what's happening for the administration, what's happening with the country? I know for me and my wife's perspective, it's super uplifting to see a lot of the executive orders, the aggressive nature with the administration really putting a ton of stuff into play very quickly into 2025, into the first year, the first term for the Trump administration, because we just feel like raising young kids that, you know, like our kids have a chance in the future, right? For education, for a lot of different areas. And I know the past 8 to 12 years, give or take, with a pandemic in it, everything that was happening in the first term for President Trump. But we just kind of feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? That I know that you've spoken in other podcasts that were really believing in 8 from Vice President Vance. And, you know, we can get 12 years of like some actual change and again, some common sense within the country in terms of policy and kind of the direction. But how can people really pray into this? What resources can we throw at them? What strategic techniques maybe in terms of prayer? But like, what's your direction with that for people watching or listening?
Well, I'll give you, I think you were there when this happened. We were in at Todd Coconata's church, and Rick Renner was ministering on a Friday night, and then there were young prophets in the back in the green room. I can't remember one of their names, but Joseph Z was there. And so when the service ended, when Pastor Rick Renner finished, a powerful message, and then Pastor Todd asked me to close out. And I said, okay. And so when I closed out, the spirit of prophecy hit me. And one of the things I decreed and declared in the prophetic, and I wasn't planning this. This is not how it works. I just had this prophetic eruption. And I said, we're believing the Lord for 12 years of peace and prosperity. And it just came out. And so this kind of answers your question. So immediately when I went into the green room, I mean, the young prophets that were there, all of them, in a good way, jumped me. I mean, it's like, well, Rabbi, what do you mean 12 years? I mean, they're just like, and they're all younger than me. And like you, Daryl, they were so excited. You said 12 years, how was it going to? And it was just, you know, I think you might even been filming it. I mean, it was just, they were just so like almost giddy. And I said, here's the key. I'm not prophesying saying that we're going to have 12 years. I am believing, proclaiming, and decreeing we're going to have it, and thus we shall have it. But we have to decree a thing like Job, and it shall come to pass. And they go, yeah, but what was in your head? And I said, well, I wasn't planning on saying that. Was the Lord had me say it here, and you're here, so this is what it means. Is we need to, I said, can't you see the spirit of Malachi 4 on Trump? He is like he really treats J.D. Vance like a son. You watch it. He's so patient and loving, and he's mentoring him. So, and the thing is with everything that's going to come to pass with the prosperity, then as long as Vance stays online, doesn't do something, get into a scandal, which I don't think he will, then what will happen, it'll be a natural for him to do the next, you know, season, and that would be 8. So obviously 8 and 4 is 12. And I said, I'm believing for that. So to answer your question, Daryl, what I said to you know, to Pastor Todd and the other gentlemen that were there, the young pastors, is I said, what you have to do is you have to have a vision. And I've seen the vision of this happening. Okay. And I'm going to start decreeing and prophesying it. And so that's what you can do, is you can start praying, Father God, I thank you for giving the United States of America 12 years of peace and prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for protecting and keeping Donald J. Trump, Melania, Barron, and their families safe. This is key. Lord, we decree that they are free from all assassination, poisoning, or death threats in Yeshua's name. Lord, we protect J.D. Vance and his wife and children. Lord, I thank you that you're preparing J.D. Vance in Yeshua's name for that mantle to be passed, like from Elijah to Elisha, that there would be a double portion in those years. Thank you, Lord, for saving and blessing the United States to stand with the nation of Israel. Thank you, Lord, for resetting the clock from the globalist antichrist who tried to mock the way of God. And Lord, we thank you for this. And just like Daryl said, he's got young kids. They were here today. And it's great that they give you a future and a hope. And just as it says in Jeremiah 29, I think it's 11, and there is a future and a hope. But the key is you've got to proclaim, decree, say, pray, and do that and operate in hope. So like if you look at Christy and I, why would we be doing this new venture and expanding at 70 years old? And the reason is because for us, 70 is really, for us, it's the new 50. And the way I look at it is this. Who's going to take the experience, the networking, the connections that we have to be able to pass the mantle on? So I've got a 20-year plan in my life. That 20-year plan doesn't include the doom and gloom that we were seeing in the Biden administration, and it never has. The Lord had me do a 20-year plan over a year ago, and what it does is when you have a 20-year plan, it unlocks your subconscious mind to start to dream and put things together for that next 20 years. I would encourage you to do that. And when you do our goals to grow, have that 20-year plan.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, final thoughts, 60 seconds, go.
Final thoughts is focus. I've got 60 seconds right now. Focus. Whatever you focus on, that's what your mind will start to produce. The Holy Spirit, the same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the things shall come unto you. Focus. Focus is the key. Do not let the distractions come in. If you have relationships with people that are bringing negativity, sowing seeds of division, always yammering and gossiping, separate from them. You can't afford them.
Daily and weekly spiritual content. If you want spiritual results, it's real easy. Hit the like button on this video. Also, if you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you get the notifications for every piece of content that comes on this YouTube channel. Anytime Rabbi Kirk goes live, any podcast, any Shabbat, you're going to get it right there to your smartphone device. It's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.